Praise God. You got your Bibles? I don't have a long word. God has been giving me short words lately. If you never believed in a miracle God, you should lately. Amen. Hallelujah. Not that you have to have a short word, but I mean, no, Jesus said things pretty condensed. Amen. Philippians, the fourth chapter. Let's make it the second chapter. Philippians. As you flip through there, Philippians, the church at Philippi, the Philippian believers, the New Testament there. Amen. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. When you've got it, say, I've got it. Not all of us were raised in the church, and not all of us know the books of the Bible, and we're not familiar where everything may be. That's true, is it not? Yeah. Yeah, and so sometimes we need a little help. Praise God. Philippians, the second chapter, verses 12 through 16, when you find it, if you would like to stand with us as we honor the author of this book, we'll honor him one more time. Thank God that we were able to walk in here. Amen. How many are thankful for the things he's done this week? Has God done anything this week? My God. Thank you, Lord, for all the good things you've done this week. Amen. How many had some trials too? Well, we'll thank God for those too in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank God that he's, if we never had a trial, we'd never know. It wasn't a song that God could solve them. Amen. We'd never know what God could do. And God is a doing God. Amen. Philippians, the second chapter, verse 12 through 16. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Somebody say, work it out. Yeah, he said, work out your own salvation, not somebody else's. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know we like to work out somebody else's salvation and forget about, huh? Come on, somebody talk to me. I got enough grass to mow in my front and back. Well, I used to have grass in the backyard, but the water crisis. Amen. And so I'm trying to take care of my own yard. How many are trying to take care of your own yard? So work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. His good pleasure, not mine, not somebody else's, but his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless and as the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Amen. He's saying so that I have something to show for my labor for you all. I want to read verse 13 and on in the Living Bible. Is that okay? Living Bible says, for God is at work within you, helping. Excuse me, I'm going through puberty and my voice is changing again. Hallelujah. Hey, the Bible says in Psalms 103, my youth is renewed like the eagles. Huh? Okay, that's scriptural. I know. For God is at work within you, helping you to obey him. Aren't you glad he's helping us? And then helping you to do what he wants. Thank God. In everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing, so that no one can speak a word of blame against you. You are to live a clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world full of people who are crooked and stubborn. Shine out among them like beacon lights. Verse 16, holding out to them the word of life. Then when Christ returns, how glad I will be that my work among you was so worthwhile. Amen. Amen. Our theme this morning is, in everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing. Do all things, it says, without complaining in everything you do, whatever you do, stay away from complaining and arguing. And so the message for today's message, you probably already guessed it. You are the sharpest congregation I've ever pastored. Stop complaining. Amen. Gosh, you're so happy about that negative word. Amen. I said, God, can I get something a little more positive? He said, that is positive. We'll see how positive it is. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. With that kind of title, we need to pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is good. Your word is life. You sent your word and healed us and delivered us, everyone. We thank you that your word brings light and life and liberty. Let your word, Father, do what nothing else can do. Father, let it illuminate, let it bless, let it build up. Any place we've been torn down, any place that has been wrecked, anything that has been abused, used, Father, I thank you that you are restoring and recovering everything in our lives. I praise you for it now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated in his presence. Hallelujah. Tell three people around you, God said, stop complaining. God's word said that. Yes. Yeah. A lady who worked at the post office was approached by a customer who said, I can't write. Would you mind addressing this postcard for me? And after addressing it for him and writing a short message, the postal clerk asked, is there anything else I can do for you, sir? The man thought for a moment and said, yes. Could you add a P.S. at the end saying, please excuse the sloppy handwriting? Now, there's gratitude for you. The Bible says do all things without complaining, because when you don't, three main things happen to you. You end up hurting, number one, yourself. Say myself. Complaining leads to anger and depression. I didn't know about the depression part. True, there are also other causes for depression, but complaining is not one we often associate with depression, but it is, in fact, I believe, a leading cause of oppression among born-again believing Christians. Mm-hmm. And chronic complainers will most likely end up severely depressed. I may know God loves you and he doesn't want you hurting yourself. Amen. Number two, when we don't do all things without complaining, we hurt God. Complaining calls God into question. It calls God's care into question, his character and his competence. In reality, what you're saying and what we say is, Lord, you blew it. You had a chance to fulfill my demands, and you chose not to. This was a perfect opportunity. Where were you? Amen. Turn to somebody next to you, somebody getting real serious, and say, I know he's talking about you, not me. Amen. Tell him, I know he's talking about you. Now tell him, that made me feel better. I know it's not true, but it made me feel better. So number one, it hurts you. Number two, it hurts God. Number three, when we complain, it hurts others. Your words affect the people around you. And I may know nobody enjoys spending time with a member of the Cold Bucket Brigade. Complaining temporarily satisfies our selfish nature, but it changes nothing. Complaining doesn't help anybody, doesn't help you, doesn't change anything. It's just complaining. Matter of fact, it really does hurt. And when you complain, you explain your pain for no gain. Let me say that again. When you complain, you expose your pain for no gain. There's nothing gained by it. And of course, it's coming out of many times out of pain, and we can understand that, can we not? But here's the good news. The Bible says the people became like those who complain of adversity in Numbers, the 11th chapter, the first verse. In the NAS translation, they became like those who complain, notice the word, of adversity. I may know you didn't start out as a complainer. You became that way. And by God's grace, you can become a thanksgiver. Amen? I said you can become a thanksgiver. God knows there's plenty to complain about. But once you acknowledge your habit of moaning and fault-finding, and I may know it is a habit, are you still there, or y'all want to leave before I finish? It gets better. Once you acknowledge the habit of moaning and fault-finding, it becomes possible to choose a better one, a better habit, that is. A bad habit is like a nice, soft bed. It's easy to get into and hard to get out of. Amen. So if you've fallen into the trap or the habit of complaining, stop it. Everybody say, stop it. Okay, you may be thinking, I heard all that, but give me one really good reason why I should stop complaining when I have so many good things to complain about. Pastor, you have no idea. No, I don't, and I probably don't want any idea because I got enough of my own. Amen. True, I don't know, but I thought the three I gave you were pretty good, huh? Complaining hurts you, hurts God, and hurts others. But just in case you're not convinced and still tend to think complaining is no big deal, would you turn with me to Numbers 11 chapter? I want us to see what happens when we're tempted to complain. Complain is the opposite of giving thanks, is it not? The Bible says, in everything give thanks. I read that once upon a time, in everything complain. Huh? How many know a complainer? Just wave at me. How many know a complainer? Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. It's always better when it's somebody else, is it not? I love it when he's talking about you. Amen. I just love it. God, I know he's talking about her. He's talking about him. And I'm so glad we're here today. God, I'm so glad. Amen. But really, God's saying, no, I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about you. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Numbers, the 11th chapter, just the first three verses. The Bible says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And we don't want to displease God, do we? That's not smart. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. Living Bible says the people were soon complaining about all their misfortunes. And the Lord heard them, and his anger flared out against them because of their complaints. So the fire of the Lord began destroying those at the far end of the camp. I wondered, why was that? What does that mean? We'll talk about that in a little bit. They screamed. How many know when you're on fire, you're going to scream? They didn't just cry, they screamed. They screamed to Moses, help! And when he prayed for them, isn't prayer a great thing? And when he prayed for them, the fire stopped. And ever after, the earth was known as the place of burning, because the fire from the Lord burned among them there. I would imagine that some complaint, if not all complaining, has some problems and makes the Lord displeased. How many know when somebody complains to you about you, it doesn't give you a warm feeling? Huh? Nobody's happy when somebody's complaining about what you don't do or what you should have done. Or no, the Bible says we're to build each other up. Amen. I said we're to build each other up. Is what I'm doing building up or is it tearing down? We get tore down every day just living in this world that is tore up. What do they say? From the floor up? Amen. And so I need to be built up. I still need the truth, yes, but I need it spoken in love, amen, and I need something constructive, something that will help. I don't always like something constructive, but we need it, amen. And so we see here that what is happening, and I heard all that, but help me with this fire of the Lord. When the people complained, it says the Lord heard, and his anger was aroused, and how many thinking making God mad is not a good idea? How many thought making mama mad wasn't a good idea now that you think back? And daddy either. Amen. And so the fire of the Lord began destroying them at the far end of the camp. And the thought I had was, what is with this far end of the camp business? And when we come back to this in just a few moments, that's why we'll find out what this is on the far end of the camp. So hot, my notes are burning up. A wise man once said, I complained that I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. God has blessed you, blessed us all. I mean, he's blessed us in 101 different ways. and he doesn't want us to hear you or me whining. Come on. I was listening to one of the presidential candidates this last week. They were in a question and Q&A news conference. Some of you know where I'm going, in New Hampshire this past week, and Trump was speaking, and I caught part of his speech, and whatever you may or may not think of him, I heard him say this. He says, "I complain and I whine until," and I guess it was until they do something. I may know that you can get people to do something if you whine and complain long enough just to get them off your back. Come on. But one thing he said surprised me, because I've never really heard any humility come from the man. All I've heard is, "I'm rich and you're stupid." Now, you got to hand it to him. At least he speaks the truth. Amen. Because we do have a lot of stupid people in Washington. Huh? And I have one or more, maybe one or more in my own family. Well, let's talk about my family, not yours. Amen. And he said this. He had his book, and I guess the book he's just written, and he had it in his hand. And then he asked the question as he held his book. He says, "What is the greatest book in the world?" And I thought, oh, no, man, he's fishing for this. You know, his is the greatest book. And then he said this. He says, "We all know it's the Bible." I said, "Huh? Did I hear what I heard? Did he say that?" And he went on, just remember, about how great the Bible is. And as he had a copy of his own book, he said, "The Bible is the greatest book." He says, "This book is nothing compared to the Bible." I thought, my God, the man does have a streak of humility in there somewhere. Amen. And he signed it, gave it away to somebody. What were the Israelites grumbling about anyway? They were grumbling about adversity. Uh-huh. For some, adversity comes through illness. For others, it's a faltering career or not enough money to pay the bills or a family situation that happened years ago and now you're left shouldering the responsibility. Some of us made poor decisions earlier in life and as a result, our plans fell apart and now we're struggling with marital problems, blended families, yes, and even with some of the consequences of our choices. We all have to deal with some level of adversity. Amen. That's life. That's reality. We each have something. But we each have something in our life that God doesn't want to hear us griping about. Amen. And please understand this. It's hard to live with adversity. I get that. But when you complain, you go and you forego the grace that will get you through it. Complaining turns God off. Complaining turns us off. Amen. Because complaining doesn't bring a solution to the problem. It just complains about it. Don't bring me a problem. I always tell my leadership, don't bring me a problem without bringing me a solution to the problem. You got to think, man. Think, lady. Come on. There is a solution to every problem. And so we forego the grace that will get us through it when we yield to the temptation to complain. And by choosing to complain and cling to the image of our perfect life, quote, amen, and you forfeit the grace that's available to you and to me and that will bring you the victory. The bottom line is we must change our way of thinking. We talk like we act like we think. We talk and we act like we think. And I may know we've all had some stinking thinking. Come on. And why is this so important as we get back to closing and why this fire of the Lord started destroying those there in verse 1 here in Numbers 11 at the far end of the uttermost of the camp? It's because this complaining was speaking against God. It was open rebellion. And this, God would no longer tolerate. Now, I want to be careful here because I don't think all complaining is against God. Are you hearing me? Or necessarily open rebellion against God. But I do think all complaining can and will eventually lead us there because it really hurts God as well as hurting us and hurting others. to denigrate his character and that he's not a very good God. And if I was God, I would sure do it better. Come on. I've said it. I said, man, if I was God, I would. I said, if you was God, nobody'd want you. Just to be safe. Unthankfulness is one of the end time signs and sins. Just to be safe, it'd be a better to just stop complaining, don't you think? Just to be safe. But we still, as a matter of fact, when you look at the signs of Jesus, he says one of the signs is that he lists all the things that people are in the last days. In Timothy, 1st, 2nd Timothy, I believe it was 1st Timothy, the 4th chapter. It's unbelievable. He lists unthankfulness. Amen. Unthankfulness. And you know what's next to unthankfulness? Ungodliness. And I thought, wow, those are kind of twins. Huh? But let's get back just as we close today. I'm glad we're closing this early, aren't you? But prophets in the Bible had to run for their lives sometimes. God would tell them, go deliver us to the king and then run for your life, buddy. Amen. There comes a time when God won't tolerate complaining. And when it gets to a certain point, I remembered Miriam, Moses' sister. Remember her? She was murmuring and complaining against Moses. And God heard it, and leprosy, that flesh-eating disease, at least flesh-destructing disease, struck her. And then, of course, Moses, she had Moses pray for, and she was healed, just like these folks asked him to pray for them. But the answer is, he sent fire among the worst ones and consumed them to the uttermost parts of the camp. I thought, why just over there? The reason was why over there, because there were some of the worst complainers, the worst questioners of God, openly putting God where you don't want to put him. Amen. But there was and is hope. I love this because judgment brought repentance. And like Miriam, these Israelites cried unto Moses, a type of Christ, Moses. And the Living Bible says they screamed again to Moses for help. I guess they did. And how many know when you're on fire, there's something inside you that is screaming for help? Come on. When there's complaining, there's a fire going on, there's a screaming going on for some help. Because the enemy is the one that baits us into all that. Amen. Kind of questioning God and denigrating him and questioning him. And the Bible says, quench not the Holy Spirit. Quench not complaining, lest the anger of the Lord be kindled and flare out against them because of their complaints. Amen. Deaconess Linda, on our Wednesday intercessory prayer, as we have our leaders on the platform, we changed our prayer style. And our leaders come, and I usually lead it off, and then the leaders take over and begin to intercede and begin to pray one after the other. And then the congregation, the prayer intercessors in the altar begin to pray as we hand the microphone on. It's been a marvelous time to see the Holy Spirit move through the leadership and the people in praying for the needs, and as the Holy Spirit impresses them to pray. It's been a great time, and it is a great time. But I heard in Deaconess Linda's, one of the leaders here, praying, and as she was praying and interceding, and I heard her in her prayer say this. She said, Lord, forgive us for our complaining. I said, well, if they ain't a confirmation to the message, I don't know what is. I wasn't looking for a confirmation. I was looking for another message. How many ever got a word from God and you say, hey, is there anybody else up there? We got another word. Or worse yet, we said, oh, that's not God. Get behind me, devil. Amen. Get behind me. That can't be God. I mean, no, it's a great time to pray. Would you bow your heads with me? Would you stand with me? Some may want to kneel, or however you want to pray this prayer. Would you pray with me, Lord? I want the landscape of my life to be different, to experience the joy you give to those who leave the wilderness of ingratitude and move into the promised land of thanksgiving. Amen. That's a prayer that will change you and me. Depression has to go. Too many people on medication. too many people trying to get up that are down. You can't blame them for that. Life can be rough. But I take authority over depression this morning. That wife, that husband, that teenager, that man, that woman, brother, that sister, God knows how many things can depress a person. Come on. Are we talking, keep it real? And so, Lord, we just thank you for the truth of your word today. Do all things without complaining or murmuring. Help us, Lord. It's a bad habit that's easy to get into. And Lord, what it does to us and what we see it do to our loved ones, and happy about nothing and nothing's right and the sun doesn't look very bright and the day doesn't look very good, and sometimes they don't look very good as darkness begins to come over their face and their countenance is cast down. And oh God, we rebuke that spirit. We rebuke that, Lord. We know some of it we have to deal with in the flesh, but I believe there's a devil called depression. And the enemy is the one who wants to continue to attack us and do things that goad us into complaining instead of giving thanks, instead of giving God praise. And if we can't do it out loud, at least in our hearts and in our minds. And so, Lord, so we don't strike out against those that are being oppressed, those that have gone through so much and are going through so much. We understand, and I know you do too, Lord. But Father, we ask you to forgive us, first for hurting you, for calling your integrity into question, for calling your care into question. If there's a problem, we know it's not you, Lord. You're a good God. You're good in your character. God is good, as our First Lady said and was in her heart. And Lord, I thank you for showing your goodness this week. I thank you, Father, for helping each one of us with the adversities that we experience and that we must deal with on a daily basis. Oh, God, help us. Thank you for being there for us. Thank you for the habit of thanksgiving that will make everything brighter. And even the adversity will not be as adverse if we will give you a praise. For you inhabit the praises of your people. You will come on the scene. And the other complaint only digs us deeper and takes us further down and makes us more unhappy, more ungrateful. Sometimes even suicidal. Life doesn't even look like it's worth living sometimes. We don't know what we're to do with the adversity can be that great. Lord, you brought that to me in my study as you were speaking this message. And I speak to those that have been under great adversity. And we have no idea, the ones standing next to us, what they're facing, what they've been going through. The challenges they have, the impossibilities they face, where they live, where they have to live, whether they have a home or they don't have a home, or they have a family or they don't have a family. We have no idea, but you do. You know, Lord. And I thank you that you're understanding also. And I praise you for understanding that we're just, you said we're just dust. To dust we will return, but we have a spirit and we have a soul. There's a bad devil out there that doesn't like us, doesn't like God. But we thank you that we love God. He loves us. And Lord, we do not want you to be displeased. We do not want to hurt you in any way. Forgive us again wherever we have done that, when we've called you into question your character, your care, your Godship. And Father, we forgive ourselves for hurting ourselves, putting us in a place of hopelessness many times, and a place where we feel like we don't want to go on or we can't go on, and we want to leave and we want to run, and we're not happy with anybody and nobody can do anything right. And if you would do this or you would do that, I would be happy. God, forgive us. Our happiness doesn't depend on anybody but us and God. I may not be happy when you're not happy, but God will help me and make me happy with Him, and help me to reach out till you can be happy, until you can get out from under the cloud. Lord, help us not to give in to the temptation to respond in kind, but help us to rise above, to be above, to be magnanimous, to be bigger than what is going on around us. Thank you for your greatness in us. Thank you for making us so marvelously. We are a marvelous creation. We are wonderfully and marvelously made, talented, oh God, capable, able, almost nothing we can't do. You've made us so, so much like you, made in your image. Take everything that's not your image, Lord, everything that's spoiling your image, everything that's casting a shadow over us. You said, ask of the Lord for rain in the day of the latter rain, and you would make bright clouds. You would pour out a blessing. You said, there shall be showers of blessing. I ask for rain, Lord. I ask for rain. Would you pray with me? Ask for rain. The rain of His blessing, the rain of His righteousness, the rain of His goodness. Not only on my life, but on my loved one's life. Father, make bright clouds for them. Take care of the dark clouds that come over their life, that put them in that depression. Deliver them from that. Deliver them, Father. Work. Help them. Strengthen them in things that are overwhelming. Things we don't know what to do with. Things that defy any answer. Places where we're caught in between. We're blank if we do and blank if we don't. Well, I want to say we're blessed in our doing. And I speak your blessing now in the bright clouds. God's taking care of those dark clouds this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you for bright clouds coming over that one who stands next to us. Every area of darkness that comes to attack them, I want to thank you, Lord. When I see it, when I see what they're going through, I'm going to ask you for rain for them and to pour them out a blessing, Lord, that will take care of the cursing that the adversary and adversity is doing. I want to praise you today for bright cloud over glad tidings. Give the Lord a praise. And I thank you for all these little clouds. A blessing, capable, doers, supporters, lovers of God, putting God first and coming and honoring Him this first day of the week. I want to tell you, you ought to hug yourself. God's telling you you're loved and He's pleased and He's happy, and the doors will burn up that which would burn you up. Woo! Any fire going to come out, He's going to burn that devil up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Going to take care of what's going on. I love you. God loves you. Have the best and greatest week of your life. In Jesus' name.